Miff Warhurst.
Weekdays on ABC Radio, online and on the ABC Listen app.
If you are a dad, you are probably guilty of them. It seems the dad joke has had a resurgence of late. We've been talking about it, particularly online, hugely popular. You just have to look at Twitter and hashtag dad jokes, and there's reams of them. They're terrible. They're the jokes that make you laugh and cringe in equal measure. And I'm really keen to find out why this is happening right now, why they're becoming the new cat video, the dad joke. It could be a reaction to online nastiness, or it could say something about what we need from dad jokes. I thought I'd speak to somebody who knows all about the dad joke. He's the Professor of Linguistics at the University of South Carolina, Professor Stanley Dubinsky. Hello, Stanley.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
Thanks for coming in to talk about dad jokes today. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been responsible for telling a terrible dad joke?
I am always and ever guilty of it. I've had children now for 21 years, and I've been telling those jokes for at least 21 years. I think I spent a few years practicing before we had kids. But the nature of them, and it's interesting that we're talking about dad jokes. This is really a new word for me. I mean, we've all been doing them. I don't remember them being called dad jokes when my kids were young. I learned the term for the first time. I'm teaching a course on humor in our Honors College this semester, and I heard the term for the first time from my students. They were talking about dad jokes. And when I realized what it was, I said, oh, well, this is just the normal kind of goofy wordplay, phonetic play, meaning play that we do with our kids. And we do it all the time. I asked my wife the other day when this was coming up on another show. I asked her, because I have no memory anymore, but I asked her, what's my best dad joke? And she said, well, there's the one that you tell all the time. This is through two children. You know, my child comes in from the outside and asks for a glass of soda, and I give him some soda, and I say, do you want some ice in that? And he says, yes. And I say, how many mice would you like?
Oh, your poor children.
And my poor children. I mean, seriously, you know, this is one of the deficits of being a child of a linguist. I mean, my younger son Isaac got written up into the book that I did called Understanding Language Through Humor, and I was just looking through some of this stuff. You know, he would misunderstand words. Kids misunderstand words all the time. They misunderstand what their parents say. They're learning language, right?
Yeah.
So what happens is that I think the jokes at the earliest stages, when they're 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years old, have the task of helping them pay attention to bits of language. So, for example, my child Isaac, he didn't understand the word lemonade. A didn't mean anything to him, but the drink's yellow, and so he started calling it Yellowmade, and we thought that was great. And so when we got some pink kind, he called it Pink Maid. And we just kept it up. But then again, you know, if you're a parent, you do things to sort of tease your child, because teasing is something that is intimate, and it's something that's done within a family. And it's a way of bringing your children closer to you in some ways, but also sort of playing with language and making it... It's also a little bit of diversion and entertainment for a parent who's, you know, got a child on their hands too, because you can entertain yourself with your child. I did ask Isaac. I was teaching him fractions at one point, and I asked him, you know, I said, well, if you take a pizza and cut it into 8 slices, each slice is an eighth. What if we cut it into 4 slices? How much is each slice? He said a fourth. Okay. What if we cut it into 2 slices? How much is each slice? He said a tooth. And I did not correct him, of course, because, I mean, how it's just too priceless and precious to want to do that.
So that's almost like a reverse dad joke on their part, but an unintentional dad joke.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a bit of teasing going on. But it's also you know, a way of sort of playing with language. Children learn language by playing with it. Now, what happens later is that they grow up. And they grow up and they become bored of it and bored of you, and they groan, as you noted. You know, you say these things and people everyone groans.
Mm-hmm.
And while your children are, you know, thinking so much less of you because now they're preteens, you get to strike back at them by pestering them with these jokes that they can't stand. I call your attention that Nickelodeon Australia had a wonderful 2-minute video called Dad Joke Survivors. And it's on Facebook, it's on Nickelodeon Australia. You've got to look at it.
It's basically for sort of a way to express their trauma at living with dads who do dad jokes.
Interviews with children who are telling about the trauma of the jokes that their dads told them.
Yeah.
It's 2 minutes, it's just fantastic.
Oh, we'll look it up. Professor Stanley, you keep mentioning the word teasing, and I feel like having listened to a lot of people talk about dad jokes, I feel like the dad joke allows a child to learn about it gives them an armor in a way to be gently teased in a safe space.
That's true too.
And
we tease people we know and we love in a safe space, as you say. And then when they're teased outside, then it's not so nice if they're teased outside, but at least they've had the experience with their own family. And it's also a way of strengthening cohesion.
Mm.
But one of the things that I think happens, and you asked the question before I came on about why is this a thing now, and I have to give props to Ashley Fetters, who wrote this article, and she interviewed me for The Atlantic. She definitely asked the right questions, and she made me sound better than I am, and she did such a good job with it. She came back to me after we had an initial interview, and she said, "Well, why now? What is it that people like about it?" And I thought about it a little bit, and I said, you know, we have entered into an age of disruptive conversation. I think the social media technology that we use has disrupted our ability to communicate in ways that we're used to, and things go off the rails quite quick. And because of this disruption, we live in, I think, in I called it an age of new nastiness. And so, you know, here we are. The dad joke is kind of warm and cozy next to the thing that is politicized and satire and sort of cutting. I mean, I have students who tell me, these are undergraduate students, these are kids in their, you know, like 19 and 20, who tell me that they're tired of the Colbert Show and the Samantha Bees and some of the real cutting kinds of political humor that they're getting. And dad jokes are sort of a way to get about that.
Mm.
You know, it's like, can we get off this agendized, polarized humor train for a little bit and just laugh innocently?
Well,
I think that is kind of making the dad jokes resurgent. There's a wonderful YouTube channel called Dad Jokes. I mean, it's a dad joke YouTube channel, and it has people who you might know and a lot of people you probably don't know setting up against each other to try to make each other laugh. Like there's a 6-minute competition between Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, where each of them sit across the table and tell dad jokes to each other, and if they can make the other one laugh, they get a point.
Brilliant. I'll have to check it out. Professor Stanley Dubinsky is a professor of linguistics at the University of South Carolina. Now, something that I want to raise with you, and I think a lot of people do on the text line as well, lots of messages have come through about why they're called dad jokes. Where are the mums in this situation? And let's drill deep into that, and then I've got so many more about that as well.
Sure. I think that, you know, this is a particularly dad way to interact with their kids. I mean, if we were talking about teasing, and dads are more prone to teasing their kids and, you know, toughening them up, perhaps, maybe that's a piece of it, than moms. Moms are there to, you know, and I'm not being, you know, I'm not trying to say that all moms and all dads. I mean, I've got students who tell me that their moms are, you know, are rife with dad jokes from their moms, you know, and their dads don't particularly do it that much. So we call them dad jokes, I think, just because the behavior is kind of stereotypical for a dad. Your dad is the one that, you know, that tells you to, you know, sit up and stop crying or something like that. So your dad is the one that's going to tease you a little bit about your use of language instead of causal use.
Does it have something to do with, say, the role of the father in previous generations?
I think that you know, it's been noted that that, you know, in previous generations, if you go back far enough, I mean, dads weren't home much at all, and they didn't have much to, you know, much real caretaking to do with their kids. Now I think it is the case that dads are much more home in the recent, let's say, post-World War II, perhaps. And there's a way that dads want to be their kids' friends. And one way to do it is to joke and to find some common ground. So
yeah. It is interesting, though. It causes a lot of consternation here. People say, you know, why do we have to deal with dad jokes? You know, why do you have to? Are women worried about dad jokes and
really?
That we feel disenfranchised or something about with dad jokes?
No. They can certainly enfranchise themselves. I mean, it's only recently been called dad jokes. We've been doing this all the time and for a long time. I think one of the other things that I didn't mention is that, you know, we use humor in many ways to test each other and to challenge other people and to see how smart our friends are, to see whether we want to be with them, associate with them. People who get our jokes are smart enough to get our jokes. People who don't get our jokes aren't. And most jokes that are sort of insider jokes that bring people who are smart and clever inside and leave everyone else out have a lot of context. You have to have a lot of background knowledge to understand it. And one of the special features of what we're calling dad jokes is that they're not contextualized at all. In other words, anyone can get them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what makes them a little bit special. It also makes them a little bit groan-worthy because it's not challenging you,
yeah.
Right? In other words, you're not challenged when you have to understand a dad joke because they're so obvious. We use jokes that challenge other people in order to test others to see if they, you know, come up to our standards. One of my colleagues who's co-teaching the class with me came in and told, and this is a not dad joke. He said that Celine Dion walked into a bar and the bartender said, "Why the long face?"
Oh no!
And what was really interesting was that only one or two of my students got it. They don't know who Celine Dion is, and they weren't particularly. I mean, those who knew her songs didn't necessarily know what she looks like. But there's a context involved. You have to have background knowledge to understand that joke.
That's true.
When you say something like, how many tickles does it take to make an octopus laugh? And then the answer is 10 tickles, because it's tentacles.
I'm hurting. This is brilliant. I'm talking to Professor Stanley Davinsky, who is a professor of linguistics and expert on the dad joke. The text I was referencing before was, "Can't something as benign and good-natured as dad jokes simply exist without the need to explain or apologize for an absence of recognition of mum jokes? Are women genuinely disenfranchised by dad jokes?" I love this to think. No, I just, not at all. I just want to understand why they are specifically... Yep. For dads, I think it's fascinating, and it tells us a lot about history. It tells us a lot about family. It tells us a lot about parents and their specific roles. And I just think it's really fascinating.
Yes, I would agree with that completely.
Well, thank you so much for your insight. Just one final question. Is the dad joke universal? We talk about it as if we know exactly what it is here in Western countries, but outside of our bubble?
Right. I think outside of our own bubble, I think it really depends on, and since I've only been an American dad and grown up with American kids and joked with them in English, I can't speak. I've never been a Japanese dad, so I can't speak about Korean dad jokes or Japanese dad jokes. I do think this, that the prevalence of things like dad jokes is going to depend in some respects on the formality of the culture, because in a culture where the parent-child role is very, very formal and perhaps a little rigid, you might not get that kind of humor. You might not get, you know, sort of informal teasing between a parent and a child. But in a culture where you do have it, In other words, in a culture that is informal enough for children and parents to play with each other verbally or otherwise, I think then you're probably going to find something like that. Mm. I mean, it might not be exactly what we have, but insofar as dad jokes or what we're calling dad jokes serve a purpose of bringing a child's attention to bits of language, and insofar as it helps them pay attention to language and helps them learn language, I would expect that it might be more prevalent than I even know about.
Yeah. Thank you for your insight. It's been fascinating. Yeah. And who knew we could talk for nearly half an hour about dad jokes? I'm loving this.
It's good. I love it.
It's been a wonderful time. Thank you, Professor Stanley Davinsky, a professor of linguistics at the University of South Carolina and clearly a dad joke expert.